Good afternoon, Republic listeners. My name's Larry Beecraft. I am the substitute host today for the Tommy Crier Show. Tommy let me know yesterday afternoon that he was going to be on the road today, and he needed somebody to host the show, and since I have a regular show on this network, Republic Broadcasting, on Saturday mornings between 9 and 10, but since for the last month, D.B. Kidd has been hosting my program, it just seems only natural that this kind of pastor radio programs around among the show hosts is happening. So it's happening today. Folks, we've got a very interesting guest on today. I think that the strategy for this program is going to be, I know that Tommy likes to have a lot of call-ins from the very first of the program, but since I've got a guest on today, and an interesting guest at that, we're going to take the first hour to just kind of go over a lot of information, let you know about this individual, his background, what he's done. A lot of you already know him. And then after that, we can take some calls, maybe in the second half of the show. But Manny, have we got my guest on? Well, folks, let me introduce the mystery guest for the Tommy Crier Show on here on a beautiful fall afternoon with a lot of football games on, and I know that you could be listening to those football games just like 2 minutes ago. I was listening to Ole Miss and Alabama. Don't listen to those ball games right now. Listen to this program because we have, as my guest today, Larkin Rose. Hey, Larkin.
Howdy.
I take it that you're out enjoying this beautiful fall afternoon. You're up in the mountains.
Yeah, I'm up outside of Philadelphia, so it's probably a little cooler here than where you are, but it's very nice anyway.
Are you in the Poconos?
Not quite that far out. Not actually out enough to really respectfully call them mountains.
Okay.
But hills, that's close enough. There's wood.
But anyway, you and your family and your parents are out there having a wonderful Saturday afternoon, and then you get bothered by me and say, hey, be a guest on my program.
Yeah, I just
when you could be doing something a lot more interesting.
Nah.
Hey, Larkin, I think everybody in the world knows who you are, but in the event we got a few people on this program that are listening that don't, and that's a real good possibility because Republic's reaching out and bringing in new listeners, so there is a distinct possibility that there are some people out there that listen to these programs that would not know you.
Mm-hmm.
So let's kind of start off, and what I'd like to do during this first hour of the program, and then the second hour we'll take the calls. The first hour I'd like to kind of inform our audience what you've done in life and how you got involved with the Truth Honesty movement, and then about your criminal case.
Sure.
Good
and
enough?
I've found out that a lot of people who do know of me don't know a lot of what has happened and a lot of the story, even people I've talk to a lot, say, oh, you did that? I never knew that. So maybe it's time to go over some of that.
Well, let's start off. Hey, give us a little bit about your background, where you grew up, where you went to school.
Sure. My wife and I grew up eastern Pennsylvania and little suburbs of Philadelphia. Grew up in a little, near around a private church with its own little school and all that. And we actually, her brother was my best friend, which is never supposed to work out. But
well, see, that's a fact. I didn't know.
Yeah.
So are you saying that you and Tessa kind of grew up together?
Not really. She's actually she doesn't look it, but she's 8 years older than I am. So I hung out with her brother, who's about my age.
Okay.
And it wasn't until years later that. You know, we started actually seeing each other. But we were in the same neighborhood, so we just didn't hang out a whole lot, but we were from the same place, so we knew of each other at least.
Well, Larkin?
Yep.
When you hear that new music coming on?
Yep.
That's an indicator that we got a commercial break. So, listeners, just hang in here, listen to these commercials, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, folks, we're back. This is the Tommy Crier Show. Today, Tommy is not here, and he has as a substitute host, me, Larry Beecraft. I mentioned at the start of this program, we were going to take the first hour and go over a lot of history and a lot of events regarding my guest, Larkin Rose. And during the second half, we're going to invite the listeners to the program to call in. So if you do have a question, if you do want to call, do it during the second half of this hour. Now, Larkin, you there?
Yep, still here.
So tell us a little bit about where you went to high school, some of your education, what you did before you got married and ran into Tessa and then got involved with the tax movement.
Yeah, I grew up in a little town called Brenathen in Pennsylvania, Montgomery County, suburb of Philadelphia. And just did, worked on the grounds crew there while I was going to school, worked on that summers, and then got 2 years of college, and after that kept working on the grounds crew because by then I sort of knew what I was doing, and they said, do you want to stay on full time? Did that for a few years, and then Tessa actually had a little transcription business, and it started to get more work than she could handle. And so I bailed out of the grounds crew and went and worked with her doing medical transcription.
Now, when was this?
This would have been married 92. So maybe 90 or 91, I started helping with her with her business.
When did y'all get married?
92. September 12th. So we get sort of a rude remembering every anniversary that right after September 11th is our wedding anniversary. But I guess that's one way to remember your anniversary, but
yeah.
Not the best. So, and then we got married and got a little house, you know, just a few minutes down the road from where we'd grown up, and kept doing our business.
And now, when you say a medical transcription business, what this involves is doctors basically subcontract out to you to take their dictated notes and put them into print so they'd be put into patient files.
Well, the doctors we worked for did one more step, which is they would dictate the letter onto a tape, and then we type it into letter form and fix their English and format it and print it and make it look nice and then give it back to them to mail to other doctors.
Okay, so that's what you and Tessa, y'all had your own home business.
Yep.
And starting in the early 90s, y'all got married and you continued all the way up until the late 90s?
Yep.
And in fact, that business continued through the 2000s and you still got it today, right?
Yep. A little small at the moment and we're looking for other things to do too, but yeah, it's still there, what we do.
When did you start filing income tax returns?
That would have been when I worked on the grounds crew, probably when I was just working summers. I may have been making so little it didn't even matter yet. But whenever it was, the academy that owned all the property would give me the forms and say, here it is, you're supposed to file. So I'd fill it, you know, I did a 1040-EZ to begin with because it was, you know, I had no house, no dependents, no, it was just, you know, it took me all of 5 minutes to fill it out and 10 more minutes to grumble about them stealing a chunk from me. And then when I started working full-time, it became more serious and they were swiping more from me. But it was still an easy process because of the withholding thing where they steal it right out of your paycheck before you ever see it. So despite the grumbling, it was relatively easy to get robbed that way.
But then when you and Tessa started operating the transcription business, and after y'all got married, it was different. You didn't have withholding,
yep.
And so you had to make quarterly deposits.
Yeah, we were self-employed in our little business, and so we were writing the checks every few months. We'd be writing check for a few thousand dollars, and even with both of us working, you know, we were only bringing in about $40,000 a year, and about $10,000 of that was going to the IRS, which I thought was just ridiculous. But with the normal income tax and the self-employment tax, and just the way we did it, there weren't that many deductions to take. You know,
yeah.
We didn't need tons of equipment. We didn't, so it was just we were getting clobbered. And we weren't happy about it. I was already, you know, my parents are very conservative, and my couple brothers and some other people I knew were very libertarian-leaning, so that's sort of what I was raised in. So I already wasn't all that fond of the IRS and government sticking its nose in everything. But this was a good lesson in just how big a burden they are to people just trying to make a living, is to have to sit there and, like, can we afford $2 for this and $5 for this, and now it's time to give the IRS another $3,000. And it was just ridiculous. But
yeah.
we kept filing, kept paying, and, you know, we didn't hide anything. We didn't sneak around. We complained. We'd write nasty things on the checks and stuff, saying we don't like you, we think you should be abolished, but here's our money because we don't want your terrorists coming and visiting us and doing nasty things to us.
How'd you run into the tax movement?
Well, I'd read pro-freedom stuff. I forget where they came from, but there were like John Birch pamphlets around years ago when I started getting into stuff. And I don't remember when it first was that I just stumbled across some claim that And I don't even know what the first one was that I read, that the tax is unconstitutional or voluntary or something. I mean, as you know, there's a zillion different claims and arguments out there. And so I would hear about one, and I'd look into it. And some of them were sort of interesting. Like, for a while, I thought there was, you know, I found it interesting that if you're accused of any crime, you don't have to say anything, but if you make money, you have to fill out a tax return, the whole Fifth Amendment thing. And I thought, yeah, there is a contradiction there, but it doesn't really mean we don't owe. It just sort of sounds like a way to try to get out of it. But I kept looking into one issue after another, and then the Internet came along, and that, of course, makes it, well, the good news is it makes it really easy to look up all sorts of stuff. The bad news is it makes it really easy for people to spread misinformation all over the place. So that just made it so there was more and more stuff to wade through. And I kept, you know, for a while I was looking at it thinking, wow, I wonder if there's something to this. But I'd sort of follow an argument along and get to the point where I thought, I don't think this guy is really understanding it. I think he's reading something out of context or getting something wrong. And then some of them are just plain wacky, and it's just a claim sort of out of, you know, out of thin air. It's, where did he get that idea? He doesn't cite anything proving this. He's people wildly making up stuff. So I sort of got, you know, started to get disillusioned with, basically started to be persuaded of the tax protester stereotype, that there's these people, they're wacky ideas, and they don't know what they're talking about. They have all these arguments, but they don't really hold water in the end. And then I guess it was 97, if I'm remembering correctly, where somebody said, hey, look at this article over here. And it was a little article called Gross Income. And it was then, I think, on the website Taxgate, which has since been killed by the federal courts. And I read it, and I thought, okay, that sounds nice, but I doubt it's right, so never mind. And somebody else, I don't even remember who it was so long ago, said, no, really, look into it. And by that point, I was thinking, it's just going to be another thing where you look into it and you find out they took something out of context, they misread something, they don't understand what it is they're looking at. But then I said about looking into it to refute it. I was basically assuming it was going to be wrong, but I wanted to be able to say, here is why it's wrong.
Okay, what was the parameters? What was the basic nature of this argument when you first looked into it and had your first comprehension of it? What was his basic contention?
Yeah, basically what I saw was the income tax only applies to certain activities. Here they are. And it was a list. It was this really obscure regulation. My first thought is, why on earth are you looking there? It's the weirdest numbered regulation I could imagine. And it lists things about non-resident aliens and foreign corporations and foreign earned income of U.S. citizens and foreign tax credits and federal possessions and all sorts of weird stuff that has nothing to do with the average American. So basically, the article was very short. It didn't look to me like a logical proof. It was basically saying, here's what counts as a taxable source of income. If you get income from anything else, you don't owe the tax. And to me, it looked like several leaps of logic and an assertion. And yeah, there really was a regulation that listed those, but I was thinking, what are you doing looking there? Is that where you're supposed to look? And it, you know, I want to know something, you know, I want to understand something the scientific way, where every step you make sure, all right, this is the next logical step to take. And it looked like several flying leaps to a conclusion that's why the first time I looked at it, I said, nah, that's not right. And then somebody said, no, really, go back, look into it, and disprove it.
Okay, hey, hold that thought. We got a commercial break, listeners. My guest today is Larkin Rose. This is Larry Beecraft substituting for Tom Crier. Come back after this commercial break. Thank you.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering. Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Well, folks, we're back. Larry Beecraft here, substituting in today for Tommy Crier. My guest is Larkin Rose. And so, Larkin, we were on the topic of you describing this argument the way it appeared to you when you first encountered it. So I think we were on that topic before we had the break.
Yeah. And so, like I said, it didn't look like a logical argument to me. I mean, the part I saw looked like several leaps of faith followed by an assertion. And that's why the first time I saw it, I just dismissed it and said, I'm not going to bother wasting time. I've been through that before with other arguments. You know, they've never held water. This isn't going to either. But then somebody pestered me and said, no, really, look into it. So thinking it was going to be wrong, I set out about proving it. And so I started looking into the regulations, and you have to understand, I was a nobody. I'm not a CPA. I'm not an attorney. I had no background in the law, and so I started all the way from scratch of what's a statute and what's a regulation and what's a public law and what are all these numbers. You know, citation has all these numbers and letters, and I didn't know what any of it was. So I really had to start from scratch. I did know a bit about the Constitution, having already been a libertarian-leaning constitutionalist. And so I had that little bit of a head start. But, you know, as you know, federal law has very little to do with the Constitution, and it's horribly confusing. Well, you know, fundamentally it's supposed to have things to do with it, but there's, you know, when you're up against dozens and dozens and hundreds and thousands of pages of legalese gobbledygook, you know, the principles sort of get forgotten. So it was digging around in the jungle to try to find, at that point, to try to find proof that this guy was wrong, that now he was misreading something just like all the others. And so I started to dig in, and the issue is now sort of referred to in shorthand as the 861 evidence. And my first question was, why is he looking here? Does he actually have a reason to be looking at 861? Or is he just sort of picking a section out of a hat and saying, hey, this isn't about me, which, who cares? Maybe some other section is about you. So the first step was, is he supposed to be looking there? And I dug around. I looked up the sections the article mentioned, and then I looked up more and more. I did a search through the entire tax code for any reference to 861 and looked up every one of them. And one of them, one of the things I found was a cross-reference right under the general definition of gross income that says, by the way, when we're talking about income from inside the United States, go see Section 861. And so more and more I found things that were saying that, yeah, he really was supposed to be looking there, that there really was a section that was a statute and regulations that go along with it that have the specific purpose of saying when domestic income is taxable. So first step, okay, he was right about that. Now, second step, what do they say is taxable? You know, and everybody would assume that they're going to say, you know, all citizens, wherever you are, your domestic income is taxable, and foreigners, you owe tax on U.S. income, too. So I looked into it thinking that's what it's going to say. And at first glance, it almost does say that. But if you dig a little deeper, if you go into the regulations, and then if you go into the history of the section, it's very obvious that that is never what that part of the law meant. And I mentioned doing internet searches, which is a really great, really easy tool for looking into the current stuff. But when I said, well, where did this stuff come from? I found there wasn't, as far as I knew, online, a way to look up older statutes and regulations. And so I had to go to law libraries. And I remember walking into the law library in the basement of the Norristown courthouse, where their law library is hidden down in the dungeon, walking in and looking around at a zillion shelves of books and thinking, I don't know what on earth I'm doing here. I don't even know where to find the tax code. Because, like I said, I was all the way a beginner. And I started rummaging around and finding what I could, and I would find, I still remember, a big volume, big red volume of federal income tax regulations, and started just randomly rummaging through them and trying to figure out, you know, if I could find an index, it might tell me, look over here. And I'd use up lots and lots of quarters photocopying anything that looked relevant so that I could read it a zillion times again at home to try to make sense of all of it. And in addition to finding that, yes, that really is where we're supposed to be looking to determine taxable income from within the U.S., because I didn't have any from outside the U.S., so I didn't really care about that part. But that was where we were supposed to look, and then I started finding the history of it and where it came from. And that's when it became obvious not only that most Americans don't have taxable domestic income, and they don't have any foreign income, but that there was a very prolonged and intentional effort to make that really hard to find, to make it seem at first glance like if you go to the tax code thinking you owe it, nothing jumps right out at you and says you don't. You have to know where to dig. You have to know what terms mean that get defined, you know, 3,000 pages away from where the term is used is the definition. And then there's another term with another definition. But basically that there was a fraud. That not only did we not owe it, but someone was trying to cover up that fact.
Okay, well, we got a break. Come back, and we'll pick up where we left off. Larkin's going to tell us what conclusions he drew from his research. Stay tuned, folks.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural, patent-pending wound and skin care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores and diabetic ulcers. The formula was developed by a home caregiver with more than 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including certified organic aloe vera gel with all the beneficial enzymes intact and food-grade hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, and decreasing pain while promoting healing. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com. The Healing Formula has proven effective in other areas of skin care as well, such as abrasions, rashes, and the treatment of pyorrhea, gingivitis, ear infections, and much more. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee if you're not completely satisfied. We offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, and nurses. It is our sincere hope that the Healing Formula will help you or your loved ones to avoid any more unnecessary pain. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715, again, 888-211-1715, or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept!
Well, folks, we're back at the second half hour of the Tommy Crier Show. This is Larry Becraft with my guest, Larkin Rose. And before the break, Larkin, you were talking about your research studies, and in light of the time that we have left in the program, I'd like to devote the last 30 minutes of this first hour to the rest of your story so that we can take calls during the second half. What conclusions did you draw as a result of all the research that you did? What did you ultimately conclude?
Well, in short, that the federal income tax is and has always been a valid constitutional tax upon engaging in commerce with foreign nations, in short, international trade. Now, there are a few weird exceptions having to do with federal possessions that make it a little bit more complicated, but the punchline is that if you're a U.S. citizen living and working in the 50 states, your income isn't taxable, and that the law shows that your income isn't taxable. So this isn't a matter of saying, you can't constitutionally tax us, which is true, but what I'm saying is they didn't constitutionally tax us or unconstitutionally tax us. They didn't tax us at all. They taxed people engaged in international trade, and engaging in commerce with foreign nations puts you under federal jurisdiction. The Constitution says that's one of the few things that actually is the business of the federal government. And there's a Supreme Court case, Peck versus Lowe, where the Supreme Court actually said, because of the general taxing clause, in addition to that clause that says they can regulate foreign commerce, commerce with foreign nations, Congress can therefore undoubtedly apply an income tax to the income people receive from engaging in international trade. And the law shows that that's just what they did. And I wrote up my findings. I wanted it to be more in the form of a logical proof. And 1998, the first version of my taxable income report came out. And I didn't have a website at the time. It was posted on a few other websites. And it was always free because I wanted, basically, I wanted people to have a shortcut and not have to do what I did, you know, from scratch. Here are the citations. I love it when people go and look them up, but it sure would help a lot if they don't, if they know where to look to begin with.
Yeah.
So I put my report out there, and one thing that, Tessa and I, my wife and I, decided right away is we're not going to hide, we're not going to sneak, we're not going to act like criminals because we're not criminals. We're going to write to the IRS and say, here's what we found, here's what we believe, we want to sit down with you and talk about this. If we're missing something, we really do want to know about it. We don't want to do the, willful blindness where, well, it sounds nice, and I'll just, you know, plug my ears and close my eyes, and I don't want to hear anything else. I really want to know if I'm missing something, which, you know, at that point I thought was pretty darn unlikely, but, you know, you can't seek the truth unless you're willing to listen to the people on the other side, so saying, no, that's wrong, and here's why. And so we asked for an examination meeting. Basically, we asked to be audited. And the first meeting had to do with we filed claims for refunds, saying, you know, for the last 3 years, we gave you money thinking we owed it. Now we believe we don't, and we just found out that there's a procedure to use to say we gave you something we didn't owe, we want it back. And the IRS, of course, didn't want to give it back. And for a while, they just ignored the returns entirely as if we hadn't even filed them. Just pretend we didn't file the claims at all. But I kept calling them and writing to them and saying, look, your regulations say I get a meeting. If you don't like my claim, we get a meeting to talk about it. Then you can deny it. And then there's appeals and all that. So I want to meet with you guys. I want you guys to show me what I'm missing. Now, at that point, I was still – so I first met with them in – April of 2000, I believe it was. And at that point, I was still expecting to go in and have them, you know, put me in my place or cite something. Even if I was wrong, I was expecting them to, do a decent spin or put up a decent argument. And I wrote to them ahead of time, and I explained my position. I gave them my report. I gave them a sort of summary explanation so they didn't have to read the whole report, and then I gave them the whole thing if they wanted all the details, and I said, here's what I'm going to ask. You know, the only issue here is whether my income's taxable. You know the income, you know what we get paid. It's reported to you. We don't try to hide it. We don't deny receiving it. The only question is this taxable or not? Here's why I think it's not. I want you to tell me at this meeting why you think it is, and here are the questions I'm going to ask. And the questions were things like, am I supposed to be looking at 861 and its regulations? Because the regulations sure make it sound like I am. And do those regulations show my income to be taxable? And just very basic questions having to do with how did you decide that I owe this tax? And so I went in, and I was all nervous. You know, this is the big bad IRS, and, you know, that everybody's terrified of, and thinking, you know, if they don't have a lawyer, at least they're going to have someone who really knows this stuff and really knows how to argue it. So I went in thinking, you know, wondering what are they going to have, what are they going to, you know, what's, and but at the same time thinking if they really have something, I do want to see it. Even after all this work and I'm sure of my conclusions, I still have to keep an open mind or I'm just being an intellectual coward. So I really want to see what they have, and I'm going in all nervous thinking, what are they going to have? When I walked out of that first meeting, I was just stunned. Because their argument consisted of, we're not really familiar with those sections, and we don't really know how to answer, and we don't even really know what our own position is. We really wish you'd just look at this general definition, because that's all we look at, and we don't know about that 861 stuff. We never use that. We'll have to get back to you. And
that's quite amazing.
Yeah. And this was, again, I didn't want to ambush them with anything. So weeks in advance, I sent them a letter explaining my position, saying, here's what I'm going to ask. So please be ready to answer it. And I even said, if you need to send this to district council, like if there's something you don't know, I want to give you time, and I'm going to ask that you bring along your lawyers if you can't answer these. And yet when I got to the meeting, they were just absolutely clueless. And I immediately posted the transcripts of that first meeting on the internet, so lots of other people could, you know, have the jaw-dropping experience of seeing just how clueless these people are. And, you know, when that's the other side, you know, I had formed my conclusions, and I thought, all right, let's see what the other side has to offer. And after all that, to have the other side offer, we're not really sure, we'll get back to you, that just, you know, that told me there isn't another side. You know, if they had something, you know, we're talking about 100 million people giving them large amounts of money, they better darn well have a good argument for it if this gets out, that, wait, look what your laws say. And they had nothing. And then a little while, I guess it was October of 2000, it was only, you know, a handful of months later, Tessa got a letter saying, hey, we don't have your tax return for 97. And we said that's because we didn't file one for 97, and we already told you this and explained why, but we'd be happy to meet with you again. Now, I think our medical transcription business, the payments happen to be in her name. If they had been in mine, I don't think they would have asked for another meeting because they did not seem at all eager to meet with me again. But she got the letter because it was they were in my wife's name, and they say, we want to meet with you. And so we said, oh, goody, we want to meet with you too. And so we set a date, and I said, I'm going to be representing my wife, because under their rules, you're allowed to do that. She's going to come along. She wasn't at the first meeting. She heard the recording and read the transcript and was sufficiently amazed herself. But at the second meeting, she decided to come along, and I thought, all right, now we're going to get answers. You know, now it's not going to be an ambush. They've had tons of time to look at this. They have my report. They have all this time. Can't wait to see what they have this time. And I went in and very quickly got to the same questions of, all right, how did you determine that this is taxable, that we owe this tax? Did you use these? And still, 5 months after the first meeting, they still said, well, we're not really familiar with that. And I sort of said, well, why didn't you get familiar with that since the last meeting where the exact same issue came up with almost the exact same people? It was the same one of the IRS people was different, the other two. They had three people at each meeting, which I understand is a little unusual for a standard examination. But two of the three were the same people. It was Michael Entz, who's a specialist they brought in from Philadelphia. I can't imagine what he specializes in, because all he would say was, we're not really clear, and we're not going to tell you that. And I would, you know, and I even said, look, I'm trying to get the specifics of your position. You know, if I'm going to take this to the administrative appeals to the next level, I have to know what the difference is, at least. You know, what are we disagreeing on? You guys don't even know what your position is. You can't even tell me what point you're disagreeing with me on. And he said, well, if we give you our position, well, we limit what we can argue in court. And I said, what? You can't not have a position at all. You must know what it is. And so the second meeting got a little more heated at one point. And the guy accused me, I think it may have been the first meeting where the guy accused me of, he said, where'd you buy this from? When I was talking about my report. I said, I didn't buy this from anyone. It's my research, and here it is. And first time he said, no, it's not yours. Who'd you buy it from? Just this really obnoxious thug. That was Michael Entz. I mean, he looks and sounds exactly like somebody who should work for the mafia. And then it was a repeat the second time around. And I said, and some really amazing exchanges happened. Like, I pointed out, you know, 861, the regulations telling me to go there. And
let me quote them. Categories of income. Part 1, which is referring to 861 and following, subchapter N, and the regulations thereunder, determine the sources of income for purposes of the income tax.
Yep.
The regs under 1.861.8, section 861B and 863 state in general terms how to determine taxable income of a taxpayer from sources within the United States after gross income from sources within the United States has been determined.
Yep.
Starts. I mean, it just the regulations themselves say, "Hey, look here."
Yep, yep. And I found those citations and printed them out and gave them handouts quoting their regulations. And it was actually exactly those two, and then there's a couple others. 1.863-1 that says
determination of taxable income. Taxpayers' taxable income from sources within or without the United States will be determined under the rules of 1.861-8 through 1.861-14T
yep.
for determining taxable income from sources within the United States.
Yep, and I read that to them, and I actually said, "Do you see what I just read?" And they all said, "Yep, we see it." "Do you understand why I believe it? Why I believe what I believe?" And they all said, "Yes, we understand it." And the supervisor at that meeting, his name was Charles Judge. Judge is his name, not his title. And he said, "I'm not sure why there's not more of an obvious, you know, we must be missing something here under 861. That was their entire argument. Not that I must be, but they must be. Because he was looking at it, it was right in front of him, like the ones you just read were quoted right in front of him on a handout I had just given to him, and all they could say was, "We must be missing something." And so I said, you know, I started to get annoyed because these people are alleging that I owe them thousands of dollars, and they had my position, you know, very thoroughly cited, explained position, and their position was, "We don't really know." And I said, another funny exchange, as I said, "Is this what's supposed to convince me? Is this what's supposed to convince me I'm wrong? You guys floundering around saying you can't answer questions?" And they all said, "No, we're not saying you're supposed to be convinced by this." Well, that's nice, because I sure wasn't. If anything, I was convinced that I was right. Because if this is what the other side has, you know, there's nothing there. And we're talking about a lot of power at stake. They have a huge incentive to come up with a rebuttal if there actually is one they could come up with. So that meeting ended. Basically, I said, "Look, I don't want to get another one of your letters that say, 'We decided it was taxable,' the end. I want you to answer these questions, or at least tell me what your position is. How am I supposed to go to appeals if I don't even know what your position is yet? You know, we're supposed to figure out what we disagree on. Then we'll move on. I don't even need to argue with you. I just need you to tell me yes, no, you know, on my points, which ones do you disagree with? You got to know, you know, you're taking money from people constantly. You have to know how to determine what they owe, but you don't. So, you know, I don't want this ended with one of your letters that said, 'Well, we decided it's taxable.'" And the words of the supervisor is, "Well, we won't close the case without getting back to you in some manner first."
Larkin, let's kind of move along a little bit faster. I want to talk about it. We got a break coming up here in just a few minutes, and then we'll talk a little bit about the trial and then open up the lines for questions at the top of the hour. You and Tom Clayton started an email group. I was on it, but tell us about that, what y'all were trying to get accomplished in the videos that were produced.
Yeah, we started to we put together like an email discussion group, and then we started the taxableincome.net website, and then started working on the theft by deception video that I made. Basically, it was just, how do we get this information out there? Because by that point, it was clear that there was no rebuttal from the other side, other than just look at this general definition and pay no attention to anything else, which was just absurd, because their law book said, look somewhere else. So we started to try to think, how do we get this out there? I mean, it sounds ridiculous. It sounded ridiculous to me. How do we get over that hurdle and get people paying attention and looking into it for themselves? And so we started talking about how to do that. I got an email list first it was just of a few people, sort of a discussion thing. And then my report was out there, and people started hearing about it and reading it. And then when we put up taxableincome.net, a lot of people started downloading it from there. And then I started my own one-way email list where I could send things to a bunch of people, and so people could sign up, because I'd get a bunch of emails all asking me the same thing. And I said, I really should just have a list of people so I can answer this once instead of 57 times. And that started to grow, and the website, it had my report for free, and it started to get more, like it had the transcripts of my IRS meetings, had the transcripts of a few other people's meetings that were equally bizarre, and a few other related articles of things about the 861 evidence.
All right. Well, hey, we got a break coming up. Folks, stay tuned. This is Larry Beecraft, and my guest today is Larkin Rose. We'll come back after this break.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, folks, Larry Beecraft here with Larkin Rose. Hey, Larkin, we've got you produced, I thought it was an excellent video, Theft by Deception. It kind of laid out the whole argument in very simplistic terms, and people could just sit there. They didn't need to read the code. They could have it all explained. And, of course, it's real helpful for any student of the income tax law to at least have a roadmap in advance. And then they can go in and study the tax code. But then you followed that up with a DVD. Tell us about what it took to produce the DVD.
Right. right. The Theft by Deception video is a computer animated thing, but we found that even that was too academic for a lot of people. Like, it was good for people who were already interested and willing to look into it. But then we decided we really have to target people who know nothing and don't really want to put in the effort. You know, we got to put the story and the information in a way that's compatible with Soundbite America, basically. And so we started this idea of making a little mini CD that'll play in any computer that has interviews with, you know, former IRS agents and attorneys and CPAs. And it does explain the issue, but it also tells some of the ridiculous things that have been going on, like the letter-writing campaigns. We started, once I had an email list, hundreds and then thousands of us started writing letters to government officials saying, come on, there has to be answers to these questions. We're just asking about how do we determine what we owe. This isn't some weird theoretical stuff. This is, where do we look in the law, and what does this mean, and what does this say, and how do we do this? And we would send them out, and we would get no response, and we'd send them out again, and then we'd get some insulting, threatening letter that says, you know, some people encourage others to break the laws, and if you listen to them, nasty things will happen to you. What does that have to do with asking, how do I determine what I owe? And so the mini-CD talked about those letter-writing campaigns, and it talked about how the IRS got back to me, because after that second meeting, they said, well, we'll get back to you. We won't close this thing until we get back to you. They got back to me in May of 2003 by sending about a dozen armed agents to invade my home under the guise of a search warrant and to steal every copy they could find of my Theft by Deception video, steal every copy they could find of my taxable income report, basically take out anything. They were specifically looking for any copies of federal tax statutes or regulations. I'm not sure when it became a crime to have a copy of the law, but apparently that was...
Oh, that's evidence of a crime.
Right, evidence of a crime. I guess it's a crime to look at the
law. The law, possession of the law is evidence of a crime.
Yes, that's very bizarre, and that's one of the specific things they were looking for. And also, any document having to do with any tax-related issue, no matter who wrote it. So this was a huge fishing expedition. And the affidavit of probable cause, the legal justification for the raid, they kept that secret for ages. I think it was a year and a half until finally I kept filing motions till they unsealed it. And then I saw why they wanted to keep it secret, because what it's supposed to do is say, here's why we know he's a nasty criminal, and here's the evidence of his nasty crime.
And all it talked about was your First Amendment rights.
Yep, all it talked about is he keeps saying this stuff, and he has a video and a website, and he keeps saying this stuff. And so that's why they invaded my house.
Well, folks, we'll pick up with this point after the break. And remember, during the next hour, we'll be taking calls. So stay tuned with Larkin Roses, always an interesting guest. Come back.
With recent